everybody. Welcome to the Tech Raptor podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, your features editor.
Andrew Rotten, editor in chief.
I forgot my name for a second.
Wow.
Suther. I was trying to think of something funny like Moogle impersonator. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Moogle impersonator.
Okay, that was that. Hold on. No, that was a genuine moment. Like,
that's
that was
why.
Real.
Yeah, no, it was real. Like, this was not planned.
You're a seven Rebirth Moogle specifically impersonator?
Yeah, I mean,
why you've blurred out the cracked in the background.
Look, in Final Fantasy 16, when that was around, I was a goblin, apparently, so now I'm a Moogle.
I don't know if that's is that a lateral move, or is that a move up?
I think it's an upgrade, because Moogles in general can be cute.
Not these
Moogles are like terrible. Like, have you ever seen the original Winnie the Pooh Pooh Bear? That is the actual toy that Christopher Robin played with.
No.
Look it up. That's kind of the vibe that these Moogles kind of look like. They look like a teddy bear from that era.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
I don't even want to know.
It's not that cursed. It's pretty all right. It's pretty basic looking, but that's kind of what they remind me of.
I hear the clicky clacks. Austin is on the hunt.
I got to do
like,
the research.
It's that era of toys, kind of the look of it.
Is it like a Furby?
And they have, you guys know who, no.
I keep on getting the one with Obi-Wan Kenobi in it.
It's like a mixture of that original Winnie the Pooh, and you know who, Charlie Kirk. You know who he is?
It's familiar.
He's a piece of shit right wing commentary guy. But they make a lot of memes out of him because his face is kind of strangely proportioned, and like people like to meme it to where they like make his face smaller, like all the features of your face just make it slightly smaller. So he's like, "What the fuck is like something's off," and you can't quite tell. But like, and then people are like, "Did I Photoshop it or not?" And sometimes it's like, "I don't know, maybe." But like, it has that vibe of like a shrine in face. So anyway, they're Charlie Kirk freaking Moogles is what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha.
The right wing Moogles this time.
I see the Winnie the Pooh, and it's kind of cute, but I'm looking at all the others. Like, Piglet looks like a mummified ball sack, and
they were played with. They're like 100 years old.
I mean, he could do better. And Eeyore, he just looks depressed as usual, but like, even more so.
Perfect.
I think, though, if you had to say, like, the Moogle looks a lot more like Piglet or whatever his name is.
No, maybe. Now Google Charlie Kirk's face and then the beans.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm so glad we're starting this podcast on a weirdo detour, because, like, that's all I want to talk about, honestly.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Because I didn't
know I was going to have to remember his name today.
Like, I spent most of February playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, the new Yakuza game, and then I've been spending every free moment I had since the leap day playing Rebirth, and they're both weird ass fucking games.
Good
dude.
Times, man.
They're good fun times. But they're also real just like surprising. Well, I think Rebirth is surprising in how far they're pushing the weird in it, I think. Because, I mean, the original 7 was also kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
it was kind of weird, but, like, I don't remember it being quite this out there.
I think what helps it be, like, oh, maybe it's not the weird one, it's old nostalgia. But, two, it's, like, graphically it couldn't display the weirdness as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Like, it was, because the, like, if we're all honest, the original 5.7 looks like shit. But that's kind of the same truth for all 3D PS1 games. They all kind of look bad.
Yeah.
It just had that effect.
But yeah, there's certain cutscenes in this that are, some are optional and some are just like, this is part of the story now, that are just real silly. I'm just thinking of it from coming off of Infinite Wealth. It made me think about like side content in major games like this, because they're both like huge, long, open world, like huge story, dozens of hours, right? So the side content has to be worth it. Like, Andrew, when you played fucking Horizon, was that all worth it? All that side content?
No. Well, what do we, so let's, all right. I guess we need to define what's side content. So side content, like side quests and stuff, or is it
side quests,
shits on the map?
Side quests, mini games, all, really anything that isn't the main story.
Hmm. Then no, definitely not. There's just too much of it.
Yeah.
If it had been like halved, I'd be like, yes.
Because I found, I guess with Infinite Wealth more, because that's the one I finished, so I can speak a little more, you know, from a point of expertise on it. Like, the side content has its own stories that are rewarding in and of themselves, like,
beautiful.
Even beyond just getting good gear or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the Tsujimon story, where you capture human beings and make them fight other human beings, like Pokemon. Beautiful. It has a story about the discrete four and how you dethrone them, and also like change the underworld for the better, because it's being manipulated by basically rich people, just like capitalism in the real world, and you take them down to make everyone want to fight, to do Tsujimon fights for the love of the game instead of for money, which is still fucked up in its own way. You're still making human beings fight each other, but at least now it's like earnest, and that's just a side thing. You don't ever have to, you don't have to see that, you don't have to do it, but the reward is in and of itself there and worth it, and it's good and nice and fun, you know.
Yakuza is like the king of that kind of shit, though. Like weird, wacky, strange, but with payoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally worth it. There's a lot, like all the games have that.
Yeah, but I'm suspecting Rebirth will have inklings of that too.
Yeah,
because you know Queen's Blood is the big thing, right? That's the big Gwent, like, well, it's not really Gwent, but it's like a trading card
crushing game. People at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, except Robert doesn't like it that much.
I don't like it that much, but what I do like is it's in Chapter 4 in Junon when you do all of the Queen's Blood games in that space.
Oh,
there's something that happens at the end where it's like, wait a minute, why is this way bigger than it is?
I can't wait. They're not talking about it because I just told them I just got to Junon.
Yeah.
I just did defeat the first couple people for that, the twins and the one other girl. So.
So that's like in the under Junon, right?
Yeah.
You're getting close to the moment.
Yeah, then there will be another three you have to defeat in like a camp on the east side of the town, or on the east side of the open world area. Yeah. And that, if you know, you know. It's weird.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait. Yeah, seven getting weird. Because there's so much room to get weird.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like they throw in a lot of weird mini games that feel like they only show up once or twice.
That's the Nomura special though. That's like Kingdom Hearts perfectly. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of single use mechanics, like, all right, see ya, never doing that again.
Yeah.
Like all over.
Mm-hmm. But they also like implement like high scores or something to it, you know, like for no real reason. Sometimes you unlock like materia from it, but it's like just enough where it's like, okay, I can detach myself from the main story about saving the world to do this silly little side thing. And it's usually supported by like fun dialogue or like where that story moment or the character moment is kind of more rewarding than like the materia or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah,
I haven't been able to run across any mini games yet, unfortunately.
Mm.
Oh, you'll find them, especially in later. But like, I like how every mini game seems to have its own song. Some of them are just as crazy as the mini game themselves. Some side quests too just have their own like theme song, which like the one with the dog. You'll see that eventually. And they have their own battle theme too. Like, what the hell? They didn't have to go that hard.
Well, the soundtrack for this is absurdly huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
400 plus songs. Dude.
It's insane.
No, but I get it now for sure. Because there's just that one use dog song. I'm assuming so far it's one use. I don't know. But it's just there for that quest, and that's it.
I think I've heard people mention song this. As well.
They're like, that song goes hard for one thing, and you never hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I'm just all about, like, I'm loving this these like mega long games with silly side detours that are kind of like, if you think about it, I don't know if immersion breaking is the right word, but definitely like tonal shifts, right? Like, you know, when you go from like in Infinite Wealth, you go from like unraveling a global conspiracy to like, you know, enslaving human beings for fun. Or like going to Dondoko Island where you just like, it's literally Animal Crossing, you know, like it's just that. And even like in the story diegetically, when you start that moment, it's like your team members are editing a video for you. It's like, come back later tonight. And then you get washed up on another island and you can stay there for literally weeks because it's in-game real days.
Yeah.
And then you'll still come back no matter how many days after. It'll be like, oh, where have you been? It's like, oh, I got lost. So it's that sort of stuff that's just a nice distraction, you know.
Or in Final Fantasy, you're saving the world from climate change 1 minute, and then you're playing Fall Guys as a frog the next.
Yeah. Wait, is it about climate change?
Probably. I mean,
you're part of an eco terrorist group, right?
Yeah.
So it's about terrorism, is what you're saying?
I mean, terrorism is just a label that, depending on your point of view.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. From the point of view of the Avalanche, they're not terrorists. But for the oppressive government, they are terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But is it really an oppressive government?
I mean, yes.
Kind of.
Kind of comically so, yes.
Yeah.
It's the meaning behind the whole game is not. Yeah, no. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it goes away from that, like, pretty, like, far. Like, oh, you remember that's where we started as, like, we need to save Mako. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, that's not. Then we fight a guy that destroys worlds as he flings a fucking spell at you at the final boss.
Yeah. I,
shit that.
I'm interested to see where it goes because I haven't played the original. But I kind of know where it's.
Yeah, boy.
No. Yeah.
You don't know where it's what's happening, like certain things then. There's a lot of weird shit in 7.
You're telling me when all the out of pocket weird shit happens, I'm like, all right, we're doing this.
Well, and if you go back and play 7, it's like a really convoluted game. Mm-hmm. Like to really try to, like, you're sitting there, like, especially when I was playing it, like, God, I was a teenager, and I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, because it's not super well explained at all in the game. Like, because I remember being at one point, like, Genova, what the fuck's the deal with this Genova shit? And, like, what is going on? Why am I seeing this black-haired dude? Oh, okay. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was thinking that with...
Stuff's there, but...
Yeah. I still don't know what's up with these robed guys, like...
That's new.
Yes.
Oh, really?
That's not in the original. Okay. So we're also like, what the fuck is going on with us?
Yes. I think it's kind of funny when they just like die randomly. Nobody cares. They're just like, ugh.
Well, like, yeah, nobody seems to note them as existing except Cloud's crew and Turks.
I think it's kind of funny because like normal people see them and like, they're kind of weird. And they just go about doing their thing. Like, just another day in whatever the world's called.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm just I'm all in. Like, as someone who I didn't like Gwent much in The Witcher. I also,
me neither.
Yeah, I didn't really connect that much with The Witcher personally either. But I know a lot of people loved Gwent. Like, so much that CDPR
made a separate game. Two games out of it, actually.
That's true.
A single player game and a multiplayer game.
Yeah. I don't foresee Queen's Blood ever reaching that point, but I am loving it.
It's like, a nice little change of pace sometimes. But like, all right, I'll just chill with this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm like, oh, I can't wait to play a bunch. But when I see, I'm like, all right, I guess I could down for that. I'm not too mad about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like crazy for it.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, maybe it's like maybe there's just something about like human memory, and when you think back on like other big RPGs you play, like when I think back to like the Tales of games, I don't remember too many like mini games or side distractions. It's really just like dungeon after dungeon, and then like story moment, cutscene, skits, but it's all pretty focused on that stuff. That's at least most of my memories with these big RPGs
that aren't Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy's had a long history of it having like one strong big kind of mini game.
Yeah, like Blitzball.
Blitzball. I can't remember the name of the card game in nine.
Triple Triad or in eight. That's
eight, and then nine's also got a pretty. It's not super elaborate, but it's got an involved card game too.
Yeah.
16 didn't have anything, did it?
Nope. 16
was didn't.
Pretty focused.
You know, I was thinking, wouldn't Final Fantasy 16 be so much better if they did side quests the same way as they did Rebirth? Like, they didn't have to be crazy side quests, like crazy weird, but if they keep the serious tone and then made them, you know, a bit more interesting like they do in Final Fantasy 7, I think that it would have been an even better game.
I still think people are insane if they're saying Rebirth's open world's good. Am I crazy? Am I alone in this?
I think it's
still
it's
like
fine.
Square Enix is like, you're like 10 years behind on this shit.
Yeah.
Still. I mean,
I like that the Chocobo goes fast. That is the best part of the open world.
But it's always very funny when it's like, it's not a smooth ride. It's like, you're jerking around sometimes, going over like stuff. It's like, oh, this is not like, was not intended. Obvious. Yeah.
But at least you can fast travel to like anything. So
yeah,
after
as soon as you unlock stuff,
world,
and it's like, instant. I'm like, fucking thank God.
With the power of the PlayStation 5.
That's right.
I tend to just walk to my destinations because I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, so that's like, can we I'm gonna blow up your DMs here, or
that's
not
fine.
The phrase,
I know I was gonna bring it up anyways.
Yeah, so there's a point.
You guys gonna fuck?
No. So there's a point where Austin DM'd me and was like, I think you're gonna hate me for this, but the open world reminds me of Xenoblade.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you're right. And I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not good. It's serviceable.
I mean, it's almost
Rebirth.
Therapeutic for me.
Sure, but that's just because your mind has been conditioned into accepting this gruel.
Yeah, and I do think this one is a step above, or probably quite a few steps above Xenoblade's open world to me. There's a lot more interesting points of interest. There's a lot more like things to do on the map. Xenoblade's open world is truly like the seventh circle of hell. It is boredom. It is just like there's like point A and B and literally nothing in between, but pretty pictures and a lot of enemies.
So that means Spider-Man is like.
What do you guys think of
worse than hell?
No. I still think you're a fucking clown for thinking that Spider-Man is like more barren than Xenoblade's open world.
Particularly Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Anywho, not to get derailed with that nonsense. How cool is it that they restrained themselves? They had towers to unlock, but they didn't reveal the map. They revealed the activities.
Yeah.
Some main ones. But they didn't like remove the fog. I'm like, wow, innovation.
Very
interesting. Yeah, Ubisoft, eat your heart out. This is this
as
is
soon
the
as I saw one of those towers, I was like, oh great. Fucking A. My God, we've been doing this for over a decade.
I don't know why people hate Chadley so much.
No, dude, I love Chadley. I love him.
He's all right.
I mean, he
now
is
he's
the one pointing
now there's
all
a fucking
this.
Wife. There's a fucking waifu lady.
Yeah,
my.
Yeah, but he hates her.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up, Maya. I'm trying to talk.
Chadley is the best because he's so fucking sassy, but he delivers it in such a robotic way that it's like it's hard to tell if he's out of malice or just like I don't know, just how he talks, you know?
He's
like when you leave him, he's like, "By the way, Cloud. I noticed there's still some intel things you haven't done yet. You must be really busy, though, being an ex-soldier and all." Like, dude, sick burn or, like, genuine, like, care? I don't know.
I don't know.
He's like, oh, I see the artifact has moved away from you. Are you having trouble, Cloud?
Oh yeah, that first area with the whole Bex crew, I did not enjoy.
God, I hate those guys so much.
Because it was
I
like,
just wish that Cloud would kill them. Like actually,
it was. I get that they're like, oh, we're silly, but it's like this is getting dragged on a long time here. Too much. Like I saw them once, I was like, thank God it's over, and I was like, oh no,
nope,
it is not. I have to see them five more fucking times, and I bet you I'll see them again before this game is over. Somewhere.
Have you tried Fort Condor yet? It's kind of similar.
What?
Fort Condor.
What about it?
Okay, so you don't know that. All right, well, we'll see it eventually.
I mean, there's another proto relic in the Junon area.
Oh.
It's like with the toys, you know, like when they turn the toys.
I thought Bex again. It's not Bex crew again, is it?
No, it's not Bex crew, but it's like proto relic shit that you have to like go after several times.
I haven't done it yet. I mean, I feel like that's gonna be like just the thing at most of them.
Yeah, like okay, but, annoying.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, because did you play Intermission, Intergrade, whatever it was called? So yeah, you know what Fort Condor is, like the mini.
Yes,
game
I do know
Fort Condor.
The mini game of Fort Condor is. Yes.
Yeah. That does return, and that is also another one of those like, this is weirder than it should be, and I'm here for it things.
Like the mini game itself, or like the way they treat it.
The way they treat it.
Okay, so I liked Fort Condor. I was like, ooh, this is kind of up my alley.
Yeah, like I'm into that for sure.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear it's back in there because I'll play the shit out of Fort Condor.
Yeah, and the proto relics too. That's also another like after I only got up to the second proto relic, but there's a cutscene that plays after you get it where it's like,
oh yeah. I did the first one, and then I'm like, I'm in Japan now. Why is there a samurai dude, robot samurai guy, who's saying some like dope shit, and then we go away, like
it keeps
classic samurai stuff.
Yeah, like at first I thought like, oh, is this supposed to be Yojimbo? Is this like the things you do to get that summon? But
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe
could be.
I have no clue where they're going with that. And again, I don't really
it.
Have.
Like
much
I said, that's totally brand new too. Ultra. So no fucking clue.
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. I'm all in for this.
I'm
weird,
so excited. We were talking about this by far, but like most people on staff, like a significant portion of people on staffs. Most anticipated game this year, and it's living up to it so far. I can't wait. I hear the ending kind of is kind of wonky, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But they're also gonna have to leave it in a weird place. We're in the middle chapter of a thing, so I'm not too.
I'm still here to enjoy the journey. I still got like at least 60 more hours till I see the ending. I'm good.
That's what I mean. I'm staring at more than that.
Yeah,
fire with me. I'm excited to see what, because they're going to be, they've already kind of talked about how they have to redo the map and everything for the third one, because the airship's part of it, you know, we're going to be able to fly around and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious how they approach the open world then.
Do you think they can pull off what Starfield could not, and you can seamlessly go from ground to air?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that will be part of it. Yep.
I mean, they've got like 5 years until we see it. Probably they're gonna be cooking big time.
I mean, if they retain the staff like they did, most of the staff, I think they'll be able to accomplish that. Yeah, because they were talking about how to rebuild the world and whatnot. I hope they don't do some kind of compromise to make it like the original Sevens in a way, you know what I mean? Like you're walking around on a big map and then you load into a region, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah,
like that's a half compromise, like to make it would be like, oh, it's like the original a little bit, but also the regions are fucking huge and whatever.
Yeah.
But who knows how crazy would it be if like you just take off and you just keep going. And then there's like a moon we land on or some shit. It's like your Sephiroth's moon base. It's like, what the fuck?
The secret final boss.
Well, because it reminds me, I'll never forget that moment. And if you play Portal 2, when you're playing Portal 2 and you're like looking up and then it has have you played Portal 2?
Yeah.
At the end boss, and then the moon like comes into view and I'm like, no fucking way, dude. And then you shoot the portal gun up there. It's fucking beautiful. Anyway, what I'm saying is that they should do that. It's Final Fantasy.
They should add a portal gun to Final Fantasy.
Add a portal gun, and then we fight Sephiroth on the moon. where he can actually like destroy that planet, and we'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then we finish it back, you know, on the original planet. There we go.
You know, I'll be honest, I thought that the entirety of Final Fantasy VII took place in Midgar. So this is all just like,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... that was no, there's so much more beyond Midgar.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a surprise.
You know, 7 Remake is like the first 5 hours of the original game, right?
I mean, I found out after I beat it.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, I don't know how far when you get to meet. Well, I try timeline wise, I'm not remembering stuff, but we still have Yuffie to add to the party. We still have
Kate Sith
to add to the party. There's still Vincent to add to the party. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. There's a lot of shit to do. Yeah. Just even meeting them. I can't wait to get to Cosmo Canyon, though. Let's see what they do with Red 13's shit. That's kind of a lot of people's favorite area of 7.
Cosmo Canyon.
Is that's where Red 13's from. That's Rebirth? In this. That's in Rebirth.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be like later, though.
It'll be a little later. Yeah, it'll probably be two-thirds-ish, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think this is spoiler. Because it's just an area, but I'm about to get to, like... Well, I'm in, like, Barrett's town, where he's from.
Okay.
Is that a spoiler?
No.
No?
Okay. Oh, yeah, we forgot. So, I didn't mention Sid, too. Yeah, Sid's another party member.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we got 4 party members that aren't even... I mean, I know we know we get what Yuffie and Kate Sith get at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I already have Yuffie, so... Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I actually watched... Advent Children for the first time a couple weeks ago, because they were doing that like that re-release in theaters for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So I watched it in English dub. I don't know if that matters to people or not, but I watched it in English dub, and there's a. I think my favorite part of it is there's a scene where the gang's all here at the end when everyone reunites back in Midgar to save the day, and Vincent Valentine. The way he enters is just off screen. You hear him say, "I'm looking for a phone," because he needs to buy a phone. There's just something about that that's just so like it's kind perfect. Of perfectly encapsulates perfect. How weird this game can be.
Yeah,
I'm
way down. I can't wait. There's so much stuff. It's so big. Let's see where that weird stuff that they change it goes, and all the Sephiroth stuff's weird.
Yeah.
Characters having way more awareness of like Cloud's fuckery than earlier than I remember it coming up in the original.
Same.
Of like comments, because like right at the beginning, like there's the whole thing where Tifa's like, "Yeah, like Cloud wasn't there," like when that went down. She's like, "I'm pretty sure, I remember."
Yeah, that's interesting. Austin doesn't know what you're talking about. That's my favorite thing about all this.
He doesn't know what I'm getting at, but like that was a big reveal, like pretty later on in the game of like, oh fuck, a very much like a very Titus kind of thing,
Titus
in a way, revealed, in 10. But so that conversation happened. I was like, oh fuck, like we're getting right into that. Rad. Like, so that means they're gonna do all kinds of stuff with that. Well, we know they are because Zack's background and shit.
Yeah.
And we know he's a bigger part of this than he was in the original one. So.
Oh, yeah.
Even though from that piece of shit game he's in.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they better make his appearance make Crisis Core worth it, because that...
It's not going to. I wish I would have read a wiki page on it.
Yeah. You probably could have done that,
I'm annoyed that Gungaga is a fucking zone in this game. In
I'm actually excited to go to Gungaga.
I can't. I do not want to go there.
Gungaga.
It's going to make me mad the entire time I'm there, and I can't wait till I'm done with it. It just should remind me of fucking Crisis Core. I've never been more gaslit on a game than fucking Crisis Core.
Dude, on some of the Chocobo stops, there's posters for Loveless. I'm like,
yes,
Genesis.
I keep seeing them.
Fucking
Crisis Core, what garbage.
But yeah, I'm so glad that like, just in general, we're just getting this deluge of JRPG goodness that's leaning into the weirdness of it all. You know, like I think I'm more into that right now in this moment than like the really really serious kind of stuff. Sure. Yeah. Like, because I think it was like every couple days, I would DM you, Austin, with like this weird shit that happened in Like a Dragon, because yeah. I know you won't ever play it. So,
I mean, maybe in like 10 years, who knows? I'm not gonna play maybe. It though.
Man, dude, there's just so much like that. I do think the Yakuza games are like the pinnacle of weird.
Yes.
In Japanese games, or like in mainstream Japanese games.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still say I think that they're an S tier fucking gaming series. They're yes. they're up there. They don't mm-hmm. sell obviously like some of the big S tier series like a Final Fantasy or a Mario or whatever. But I think they deserve to be in that conversation. There's very few games that like understand what they are better than the Yakuza series. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, we know what we are, and we're just gonna keep leaning into it and getting better at it. And it's like, yeah. fucking hell yeah, dude. Like fucking yeah. And they mm-hmm. do keep getting better at it.
Yeah.
It's and great.
They're really good at balancing the silly stuff with the serious, like, because the stories can get pretty dramatic sometimes, like macho Very. Machismo dramatic, but still yes. pretty dramatic.
It's great though.
Yeah, it's so good.
Phenomenal. You know what else is weird, if you'll allow me to pivot yeah. for a second?
Yeah,
so I customized my character in Dragon's Dogma 2 because there's a character creator.
Oh, out that's now. Right. That's
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know how people were making like total abominations in Street Fighter 6?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be funny to watch people playing Dragon's Dogma 2 with like the most hideous people that you've ever seen. I made an absolute monster, like a legitimate ugly bastard. But what surprised me was that you can actually pick which teeth are missing on your character.
Specifically, like you can get granular. Wow.
Specific teeth.
Can you decide the size of your dong?
No, it's not that advanced, but you know.
That's not that advanced. That Cyberpunk tricked us into thinking theirs was advanced by mentioning that.
No, we got to get to Dragon's Dogma 3 before we can do that.
So the dong eventually changes. That's so kind of awesome though, to choose the teeth.
Yeah.
And so like, could you do like every other one is missing?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
being a big gap tooth fucking deal.
you could just have Beautiful. Two buck teeth and that's it if you want.
Oh, dude, it'd be Bugs Bunny, dude.
Dude, okay, wait. This is like you were playing around at the demo or the they just released a character creator, right?
Yeah, yeah, which you can then like transfer into when the game comes out and that'd be your character, so you can just fuck around with it for now.
You can also create like your posture and the way you walk. So, you know,
awesome,
and God, like the way you can morph the body is just insane. It's not quite on the level of like an extremely like long neck and like huge arms like Street Fighter, but like
Arc. People do that about Arc, right?
It's a bit more grounded, but it's still like. Seeing it in Dragon's Dogma is gonna be like really freaking weird.
The fucking animations are gonna be cursed for some things.
Yeah,
like that. That's why I was asking, because I was like, "Have you seen your character in motion yet?" That I think is gonna be the big test.
Oh god.
Well, you can see him walk, and he's got like this hunch, and he's like got this giant belly.
Yeah, but Austin, you don't understand. Can you imagine that character climbing on a dragon's back?
That's right.
Exactly.
Like you hold on to the did you play the original Dragon's Dogma at all?
Yeah.
Okay, like you hold on to the monsters and shit, like Shadow of the Colossus style, and fight them. Like, that's just insane.
Yeah.
I can't.
My
wait.
Guy looks like he's not capable of moving very well at all, but.
Beautiful.
You know, you can make him a rogue and probably be like super fast.
Chris Farley existed, man. I mean, he was fueled by drugs, but he was an active man.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I haven't played with it because I'm just going to wait until Dragon's Dogma comes out, I think. Yeah. But also, I think I need to finish Rebirth before I start that one. But yeah, I'm very glad.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm very glad that Capcom, I mean, also Capcom, lean into the weird, right? Like with these character creators. I still think about Devil May Cry and how they just put in a whole scene where Dante gets a cowboy hat that shoots money, and when he gets it, he does a Michael Jackson dance.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And fireworks go off for no, he didn't plant those before. They just go, and you're like, yeah.
That's what happens when you dance like Michael Jackson.
That's
Do
true.
It right now. I promise. It'll happen in your apartment.
Really? I don't know if my apartment can handle it.
That's actually no, you might burn it down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just another like weirdo thing. It's like, all right, that's happening. I'm down for this. Let's go, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that game a lot, and I know that Dragon's Dogma is a bit more serious, but like Capcom, you know, they like you said, they lean to the weird.
It's serious, yeah. But it's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a little wacky. Yeah,
you'd be a cat man. I mean, that's kind of weird, right?
Oh, well.
Like, you can literally make a cat person.
You say weird, I say degenerate, but...
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whew. Like, I don't know how much Dragon's Dogma is going to lean into the weird in terms of, like, story and minigames and stuff. Because I didn't get that far in the first one, but I remember it feeling like once you made your character, it's pretty, like, serious dark fantasy stuff.
Yeah, and then you turn around and your pawns look like Shrek and, like, Papa Smurf.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of contrasting moments of the seriousness in that that can happen, where that comes from. So yeah, not a lot of intentional. Like, here, we're gonna take you on a wild ride for a second.
Yeah,
but there'll be some dark things that come up. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. I mean, obviously, I'm played too, but that's how one was.
Yeah, man. But and then there was also a demo kind of for Stellar Blade, and then there wasn't, right?
Yeah, yeah, there was.
The fucking, the fucking woke liberals got it taken down. The left, dude. Where could they?
Yeah, yeah, it was only them. God, that's damn, it's their man. Fault.
They hate women, dude.
Jesus.
That's what it is.
Nah, dude, I am actually pretty over reason some people are into Stellar Blade is not for the right reasons. I've seen
people like, oh, this is finally real women in games again. It's like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
Do not go on the subreddit, let me tell you.
Oh, I'm sure it's a hellhole.
And it's like Rebirth just came out. Like, what do you mean? Like,
if you look at her like proportions, she's insane.
Yes.
She doesn't exist. That human doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
And like, so it's, we get people like, we get shit like that, and like, it's so stupid.
Yeah,
people are dumb.
Mm-hmm. But like, it makes me in a weird way embarrassed to be excited for Stellar Blade, because like, I'm looking at the combat for it and I'm like, dude, that looks like it could be fucking sick. Like, it could be a Bayonetta-ish thing, or like a Devil May Cry-ish thing.
Nier Automata, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so then you got these chugs. Weird. Yeah, people are weird about Nier Automata 2.
Yeah.
Heard less on a lesser extent.
Yeah.
But this one seems to definitely be playing up. To be fair, well, I guess not to be fair, but why it might be a little bigger this time is that they're definitely playing up the whole, like, her ass jiggling a lot more physics and shit.
Dude, there's like 32 costumes or something. Like, nuts.
I mean, they know what they're doing.
You know, which, there's nothing wrong
with it. I don't have a problem with it, but it's just,
You guys know who this is developed by, right?
Isn't it like that Korean studio where they made that mobile game like Nike or whatever?
Yeah. So like, just Google it.
Actually, why don't you tell the listeners if they don't know what Nike is? Do you know what it is?
I do. I don't play it. But I know somebody who's very into it, as you might imagine.
His name is Austin Smoother. Yeah.
No. I swear these aren't my pants, officer. I don't know how that got in there.
No, that's my friend's bank statement with my name on it.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I've dug myself into a hole. I haven't played it, but yeah, that's all I'll say.
But okay, that doesn't say anything about what it is.
It sounds like he's asking for his attorney.
Butt with two T's is what I'm saying.
Butt with two T's.
That is what the game is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I did some investigative journalism. I actually did download the game out of curiosity, because I was like, okay, I found out that Stellar Blade, that those people made this. And I was like, okay, just how into the booty is this? Because the game is like, the gameplay is like, you take cover as hot anime waifus and shoot guns at robots. But while they're shooting the guns, the butts jiggle. That's the game, pretty much. And there's gacha mechanics. You can get different girls, because that's how degeneracy works, right? I played a bit of it. And there's story here. And they play it up so seriously that I can't tell if it's like a cover or not, you know? Like, it's because you're like it's real sick. You're like a commander who's human, and all of these waifus are robots that look like humans, but they are subservient to the commanders. And it's like some weird war with the robots. Nice. But they're like, you know, prime directive, serve the commander. Oh, kind God. Of shit. Yeah, but then there's a point early on where you have to kill one of your I think they're called Nikes. You have to kill one of them because they're like, they got corrupted, and they play it like there's like really sad anime music. It's a full anime cutscene, and it's like this feels out of place considering what everything else about this game is. And so with all of that, I wanted to like play that because I was thinking, okay, let's see if this is the precursor to Stellar Blade. I have a feeling that there's going to be another tonal clash in Stellar Blade where they're going to have to like try to have serious moments, but then it's just butt jiggles in the gameplay. I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, they're putting that money to good use, eh? That got you money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. Who cares if that exists? That's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, yeah. I'm personally, I can't get upset interested about
it either way. If you like it, well, I mean, if it's a major, not a major factor, but you enjoy the jiggly physics or whatever. But this is pretty harmless. Who gives a shit? Have fun.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't care. Like, so I can't see why you'd want to get outraged about that, but that's obviously not where most of the outrage is. It's on the other way of like, this is how, you know, this is the women in gaming we should have had that the stupid woke people took from us. Like those are the people that if Metroid was made today and Samus was revealed, they'd be like, oh, fucking libs.
Yeah,
putting their agenda in games.
No, they want Horizon Forbidden West, where every time you knock back an arrow, every atom jiggles. You know, that's what they want.
Maybe it does. She's just very armored.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. What Otten said reminded me of a story from childhood where, you know, I used to play Smash 64 with my brothers, and one of my brothers was a Samus main. And upon finding out that Samus was a girl, he stopped playing her completely.
Wow.
It was funny.
Kids are fucking stupid, bro.
They are.
And, you know, kids the way stupid. You found out is that if Pikachu shocks Samus or any other character, you can see their skeleton if you pause it.
That's how he found out?
Yeah.
That's such a fucking awesome way to find out.
Yeah, and I can't believe Pikachu would spoil that. That reveal.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. How fucking dumb.
That's so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Andrew. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but there's just like, there's that use of it in like a culture war that doesn't exist that I'm like,
yeah, it's just a why?
Like, you gotta get off the internet, truly. Just like, for real, touch some grass, you know? Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's just how fucking things are, dude. I mean, how many times are we going to see Sydney Sweeney's tits in a fucking movie now? Feels like we're in for a decade of seeing her get nude in movies now. You know what I'm saying? Like, just shit like that just comes around.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I'm only bringing it up because it's similarly being used by people. Like, see, now we finally have beautiful women in movies again. It's like, what? Talking about, I've seen that said, and I'm like, what are you saying? Like, that's insane.
Because she was just on SNL, right? Wasn't that like kind of the flashpoint for it?
I think she just did. Yeah, I don't watch SNL, but I think she did. Yeah,
yeah. So that's what I remember seeing people like kind of tweeting about it on X.com, formerly known as Twitter. Right. You know, the home for all good takes.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not surprising.
No, it's not. But it just reminded me, because I've heard like the more or less Stellar Blade's the same shit is being said with her right now, because she's, you know, being popular. She's in big movies and whatever, getting popular. And it's the same exact shit.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah, it's just people who really need to like not be as chronically online. for a little bit.
I know. And yeah, if you're getting impassioned in either direction, not saying that I don't want to be like both sides are the same or stupid. It's not the same. But to allow yourself to get bought into something this trivial to where it affects your life that much, it's like, dude, come on. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Like, do something else. You do something else productive with your life. You'll love yourself more.
That's what I should have told my brother in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah, get off the internet.
Yeah, you stupid fucking kid.
Samus is a girl, so what?
I made Samus cooler to me. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I got to say, too, I also recognize how deeply ironic it is that we're saying this on an internet show. On a show that's primarily on the internet, yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that's a good place for us to wrap for this week's episode. You all feel good? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to Tech Raptor Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. And if you did, you can let us know in the comments down below, or hit the like button if you haven't. Subscribe if you haven't either. I mean, that way you can get all the episodes in your feed every week on Wednesdays. But otherwise, we will see you next week. See you later.